Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Days off, but this is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning. You know the deal. It's Wednesdays and Saturdays over there. So, you know, definitely swing by and check that out. But there is other content added throughout the week. So, you know, just continue to check sportstimeradio.com and see what's going on. But, of course, while you are over there at sportstimeradio.com, click that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, of course, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, you know, Dan had tweeted out something a little earlier. He had an idea for us to cruise through all the Major League Baseball teams, you know, all 30 of them, and see who their starting pitcher for opening day is going to be. I got to tell you, Dan, it took me a little while to find the article. It kind of disappeared, and then at first it only gave me the video option. But I did hunt it down.
So I am all set. It's written by Andrew Simon from MLB.com, and he breaks it down into five categories. Long-time watch, no doubt about it, heavy favorite, split decision, and contenders. So, I don't know.
Wait,
I just thought this morning.
It's not Andrew Simone?
Well, Simon says, I don't know.
Okay.
You say tomato, I say tomato. But, you know, I thought spring training, pitchers, catchers, this is a great article. I'm sure everyone's reading it. And if they're not, then they should be. Or you don't have to now because you can listen to us talk about it, right?
Yes. Yes, they can. I'm stalling because my web page is not responding, so my computer is taking care of that for me right now.
Well, I mean, I guess the easiest one to start with would be the first one, the longtime locks. Dodgers, Mariners, and Tigers. So you don't have it up, but can you tell me who those three are? I know you know who those three are.
Yeah, those are the relatively easy ones. I mean, obviously the Dodgers is Clayton Kershaw. Of course, and like anything, this is all barring injury. The Mariners, no doubt, it's the King. If they wouldn't start Felix Hernandez, I would boycott. And then the Tigers, even through, you know, all the hoopla and the stuff that, you know, they were going to rebuild, I'm guessing it's Justin Verlander.
Are you surprised that he didn't get traded in the offseason? I mean, just to touch on him a little bit.
You know, the way they were talking, you know, I mean, I fully expected them to come in almost in rebuilding mode. And they, you know, the only move they ended up making was dealing Cameron Maben. So, I don't know. You know, the whole idea behind the rebuild there. So, you know, I was just kind of confused because remember, you know, Al Avila came out and said, hey, you know, everybody's for sale. We're not going to, no doubt, we'll move anybody. It doesn't matter. Even Miggy, you know, and then Verlander's name came up in that list. And, you know, I mean, the hot rumor kept being that J.D. Martinez was going someplace, and in the end, like I said, it was Cameron Maben, and that was it. So, You know, I mean, I, you know, I guess looking at the three, you know, those three teams since we started there, is there anybody else who even pops to mind on those three staffs that could get the nod, or are these just easy, you know, knockdown, you know, starters?
No, I think this is an easy knockdown. I mean, you know, Zach Greinke is with the Diamondbacks, so he's not up for it. And Urias, you know, he's not ready for it either. So, and then the Mariners, I don't even remember who's on their team starting pitching-wise.
they made so many changes, I don't think I know who's on their team. So.
And you know, and kind of back with the Tigers, you've got to wonder, like you said, they didn't do the flash sale like expected. But at the same time, I guess it's the Indians and everyone else. So, you know, kind of being in the worst division in baseball on paper coming into 2017, I think maybe they think they have a chance at, you know, doing something.
Yeah, you know, they probably do. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know if they'll contend for the division, but, you know, there's no reason they can't hang around in the wild card race. I mean, I think part of the reason is that's why I was kind of so surprised, you know, when I heard the, hey, you know, we're willing to mortgage everybody here, because, you know, this is a team that, you know, obviously can really hit. I mean, you know, Miggy's a year older and Victor Martinez is a year older, and, you know, I mean, you add a year to everybody, but, you know, they can all still hit. And, you know, if Jordan Zimmermann comes back healthy, you know, they could be really good at the top of the rotation as well. You know, I mean, they did just have the AL Rookie of the Year in Michael Fulmer. So, you know, you're coming in with Verlander, Zimmermann, Fulmer, and, you know, I don't know who else may fill out the rotation. I know Anibal Sanchez was horrible last year. Maybe he gets it back, or, you know, I mean, you can always kind of find these guys here and there, but... Yeah, I was more shocked by anything that they were just like, oh yeah, we'll give it all away, we don't care. Okay. So.
Well, I mean, you've got to wonder if that's just another way of throwing it out there that you're open to talks.
Yeah. So. But yeah, and then you know this will be Felix's ninth straight for the Mariners and 10th overall. You know, Verlander had 8 in a row until last year when they went with David Price as the opening day starter. And let's see if they – I believe, didn't Kershaw miss – was it last year or a year ago or something? He had an injury. So, oh, no, they have him for his 7th straight here. So, yeah, it's definitely long-time guys here in the first set of, you know, locks, as they call it. So
– and he ties Don Sutton, who I think is in their organization, or he works for the Angels. I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I know he was a Braves announcer for a long time.
Oh, he was?
But, yeah, you know, I don't know. Yeah, so.
I don't remember.
You know, I'm sure he's still out there working in the game somewhere. You know, I remember being older than you. I remember actually seeing Don Sutton pitch. So.
Yeah. I have a few of his baseball cards. So.
Yeah.
Towards the end, maybe that's why I'm thinking Angels.
Yeah. Well, I believe did he, you know, he may have wrapped up there. So, yeah, you know, I don't know where he, you know, I know he bounced around a little bit. Yeah, here I got it. It was Dodgers, Astros, Brewers, A's, Angels, and then capped it off back with the Dodgers for his final year and. Way back in 1988.
Wow. That's a pretty long career, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, well, back then, you know, pitchers hung around. You know, they weren't having Tommy John every other year. So.
Before they got out of high school.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, back when they threw innings as well. You know, I mean, when you kind of go back and, you know, you look at these guys' careers, you know, these guys pitched. There was no, you know, real question about, you know, what they did or how they did it. I mean, they went out and, you know, pitched their innings. I mean, in some cases up to 300, you know, a season, you know, you throw that number out there, you know, it's
Well, that's never happening this year or this era. I believe the radar gun really became prominent in the 90s, you know, started to move forward. But between the 70s and 80s, you know, and I'm sure you can go prior as to that too. But from what you remember, did they really focus on the speed so much as the different pitches?
You know, what used to be really important that kind of went away a little bit now with the radar gun is it used to be important to get guys out. You know, that's what mattered. It didn't matter how you did it. You know, it didn't matter how hard you threw. What mattered was throwing strikes and getting guys out, because obviously you didn't want to walk the world.
Yeah.
You know, but once the radar gun came in and it started lighting it up, and I mean, you know, we hear it, you know, all the time in today's game. I mean, how many times do they talk about, well, you know, he can throw this fast. You know, he hit 103 on the radar gun. Like, yeah, he hit 103 on the radar gun, but it was in the other batter's box. you know, and every time I think of that, you know, I hear Bob Uecker's voice in my head from Major League going, just a bit outside. So, you know, and I mean, you know, let's go back and look at Randy Johnson. Boy, yeah, he threw hard. It took him a while to learn how to pitch. And in today's game, man, they don't know how to teach people how to pitch. They used to, but, you know, that all went away with, hey, go out there and, you know, we're going to limit you to, you're going to throw just 50 pitches today. It doesn't matter if you throw those 50 pitches in two innings, you're only throwing 50 pitches. So, you know, it just, it pitching is a, you know, becoming a lost art in the game of baseball.
Well, not only that, I mean, even myself growing up and, you know, and a lot of the stuff, the information I have comes from rain delays. You know, it seems like today nobody knows anything. It's just fastball, changeup, slider, curveball. You know, from watching all the old stuff, now there was a plethora of pitches. Obviously, you can't do the spitball anymore, but, you know, you had the forkball. You know, granted, there's a couple guys now that use the four-seamer, excuse me, and then in there. But it seemed like there was a lot more of a mix of pitches that were thrown.
Yeah, you know, and that goes back to the lighting up the radar gun. You know, because, like, you know, if a guy's throwing the forkball or, you know, something like that, he's probably not throwing very hard. You know, because that's kind of deemed a trick pitch because, you know, it basically falls off the table on you. So, you know, he's not hitting, you know, 90 on the radar gun. It's hilarious when you think about it because, you know, the first name that pops to my mind is, you know, Kyle Hendricks, who I believe led the National League in ERA and may not have broke 90 on the radar gun all year. But, you know, or you look at a guy like Mark Burley, who had a, you know, incredibly huge, long major league career, you know, two no-hitters, one of them being a perfect game, won a World Series, you know, racked up, you know, 200-plus wins easy and didn't throw hard. But, you know, that's the thing now. Everybody has got to go out and, you know, if you're a high school or a college guy and you ain't throwing 90-plus, they're probably not even looking at you. You know, and it's sad because you think of the guys we would have missed. Greg Maddux would never get a look in today's game.
No.
So, you know, it's just kind of like, really, you wouldn't look at Greg Maddux. But, yeah, I mean, he didn't really touch 90. You know, and it's just, it's sad when you, you know, you go back and you start to look at the things that the game has turned into. And, you know, but that's all sabermetrical related. You know, that all details into what sabermetrics tells you to do.
Thank you, Bill James. I wish he had a better job back in the 70s.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have so much free time. So.
Exactly. Or, you know, he could have wrote a book, a novel, he said. But
yeah.
The next category, I guess we'll just go with the top five. That's what I see on my screen right now. No doubt about it. We have Keuchel for the Astros, Sonny Gray for the A's, Greinke for the D-backs, Madison Baumgartner, Giants, Corey Kluber for the Indians.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little surprised looking at some of the names that, like, you know, maybe he didn't want to overload the first list, but I would have thought, like, Bumgarner and Kluber were, you know, no doubt locks. You know, there's really, you know, I mean, you know, Bumgarner at least has some challenges on the staff. I mean, he does have Johnny Cueto, but, you know, there's nobody behind Kluber. I see in the article here he mentions Carlos Carrasco, but that's no match for Corey Kluber. You know, the other ones, I guess, yeah, the only question would be, you know, well, will the A's trade Sonny Gray before opening day? You know, that may be the only difference there. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Greinke's an obvious choice for Arizona. And, you know, Keuchel, even though he did scuffle a little bit last year, you know, he was the 2015 Cy Young Award winner. So he's definitely their guy.
And I picked him in the wrong year to win that award.
Yeah, you know, that happens all the time to me. So, you know, I understand the feeling, you know.
But dropping down for the Mets, it's Noah Syndergaard, Max Scherzer for the Nationals. Interesting. Chris Archer for the Rays and Hiro Tanaka for the Yankees, which was actually confirmed by Girardi yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it came across on the crawler while I had intentional talk on yesterday that he was going to be the starter. You know, I guess the Mets is the only, well, no, I guess a couple of these could be interesting. You know, the Mets have a plethora of guys, obviously, Syndergaard, Jacob deGrom, Matt Harvey. I did see where Zach Wheeler had elbow tenderness already. The guy hasn't pitched in 2 years and now he's hurt again. So we can probably take him out, but yeah, you know, Syndergaard's the choice. You got him there. I mean,
yeah, well, especially since TC came out and told the New York Post that's his guy. But I think for what he did last year, I think he has to be the guy you go with.
So, you know, and then the Nationals, of course, you know, there's always Steven Strasburg. You know, Scherzer is coming off a Cy Young year, even though I still don't think he deserved it. I believe John Lester should have won the Cy Young, but, you know, again, that's just my thinking. Yeah, you can kind of, you know, I mean, I know Strasburg did it for, what, 2 or 3 years in a row before Scherzer had it last year. You know, does it matter? Is that the important thing there? Or, you know, with Strasburg, I mean, I guess you got to worry. He could probably go out and get hurt throwing the first pitch, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, and you brought it up many a times about his, I don't remember if it was the anxiety or, you know, being in the spotlight type of deal where, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion things worked out better for him when Bryce Harper came up because he got a lot of the attention taken off of him.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, Archer is another one of those guys. Obviously, there's no doubt, you know, who Tampa Bay's going to. You know, again, and, you know, unless another guy who magically, you know, his name was in the trade talks all winter, you know, unless something pops up here this last month or whatever, you know, month and a half, whatever we got going on, you know, he'll definitely be their guy. So.
No, but I remember when we were going over somebody's, you know, rankings for the season coming up. They had the Rays kind of put up there, high up there. Do you see him finishing out the season with the Rays, or do you think he's gone by the deadline?
Well, you know, I mean, it will depend on, obviously, how the season goes. But, you know, you've got to wonder, I mean, you know, we're looking at some situations where, you know, contenders can use – one more guy. And, you know, you've got to think, man, I mean, he's probably going to be the best guy out there. You know, I mean, obviously the A's will always be willing to trade Sonny Gray, but I think Chris Archer is better than Sonny Gray. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, that, you know, that could just be the guy. You know, there'll be all the Jose Quintana talk, you know, because he has the good contract. You know, while he is a quality pitcher, again, I think Archer is a little better. The thing Quintana has going is, of course, he's left-handed. But yeah, if they are struggling, I mean, you got to figure you can go to a contender at the right time and get three top prospects, maybe even a throw-in or two that could develop. You know, if that team really wants to win, you know, or they need it, you know, or they're just that one starting pitcher short, you know, he could be the guy that gets you over the top in the rotation. So, yeah, I think if they're scuffling, if I had a team, I would be looking at him.
Do you want to take the heavy favorites, or should I continue?
No, I can go ahead and wander these out here. I'll do the four that are in between the pictures. I don't even know if there's any more down. For the Angels, the heavy favorite is Garrett Richards. The Braves, it's Julio Teheran. The Orioles, it's Kevin Gausman. And the Pirates is, of course, your guy, Garrett Cole. So
you better not nominate him on the third round. I'm going to kill you.
No, I already decided, you know, I'm going to make sure you have all your money, and the first guy I'm going to nominate is Tony Watson, so you can pay whatever you want for him. So, you know, then you won't yell at me all year. But, yeah, you know, again, no, you know, obviously the biggest surprise here is with the Orioles, but with Chris Tillman looking like he's probably going to be on the disabled list, you know, they got to turn to somebody else. You know, Gausman's their homegrown product. They do have, you know, they mentioned Ubaldo Jimenez and Wade Miley, but Jimenez, you know, he could go out and give up 10 runs, and Miley could walk 10 guys. So, you know, Gausman's a good as bad as any there. I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up going another route, but, you know, everything else seemed pretty solid name-wise. Did it to you, or was there somebody you thought might slide in or slide out there?
No, I mean, the thing that kind of confuses me, though, and, you know, this kind of goes with just pitching in general, is there much difference between Tyler Skaggs, or never mind, because I was thinking Skaggs was out of the O's system, but he came from Arizona, so never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and then Richards, of course, you know, he's coming off, partially torn ulna collateral ligament in his right elbow. Did he hurt that pitching against the Cubs in the first series of the year?
I believe so. Yeah.
So, but he's the Angels' best pitcher. You know, I know the Braves, obviously, they made the big signings, Bartolo Colon and R.A. Dickey, but Teheran is their guy, and he needs to be the number one, right?
Yeah, well, I felt like those guys were brought in to more so back him up. Give you a real solid 2 and 3.
Yeah, that was kind of the way I looked at it. You know, I mean, I like Bartolo. You know, obviously he's fun to watch play, and I'm glad he's in the National League, so he still gets the bat. And you know, Dickey is, you know, he's there, but Teheran is far and away the best pitcher out of the three. So you know, he needs to be the guy. And you know, the Pirates, it's kind of the same thing. You know, Garrett Cole is their best pitcher. You know, I mean, I know the article mentioned Ivan Nova, but he's not, you know, he's not going to, you know, knock Garrett Cole off his perch as the Pirates' number one starter, you know, so that's, you know, and obviously Liriano has gone to, Toronto, I believe. So Cole is the guy there, no doubt. But yeah, there are three more. I didn't realize, you know, I didn't, like I said, I didn't go down that far. So there are three more heavy favorites. For the Phillies, it's Jeremy Hellickson. The Twins, it's Irvin Santana. And then the White Sox, God, I don't know who else they would use except for Jose Quintana. You know, the only one I don't know about here is the Twins, and that's just because I don't know what the heck their staff is going to look like come opening day. So I guess Santana is as good a choice as any?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, I think that's one of the things, you know, it's usually around now when you and I start looking at all the teams. So still early, but I guess that would be the best bet. I'm not surprised with Hellickson for the Phillies, but I still think I'm not making any predictions or whatever, but I still think the Phillies are going to be a team to watch. I think they may surprise us. But then again, they can completely tank with Hellickson and Buckles. So I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I understand the Hellickson thing. I was a little surprised, you know, even in the article, that he doesn't mention Vincent Velasquez. So, he'll be a big factor in that filtration. Yeah, another injured guy. You know, what else? You know, can we say that about everybody? I think everybody we mentioned has been injured, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Garrett Richards earlier with the, you know, pitching against the Cubs, got the hurt. Same with Velasquez. I had to bring that in there.
You know, to be fair, Irvin Santana didn't get hurt, but he got suspended. So, but yeah, you know, I'm kind of looking here thinking, I'm thinking, okay, who are the other pitchers on the Twins roster? I got Phil Hughes.
Oh, yeah.
And, I got Irvin Santana and Phil Hughes. There's got to be somebody else. So, I couldn't tell you. So it's got to be at least one of those two guys, because I'm drawing a blank on everybody else. You know, I did pick one of their guys to win Rookie of the Year last year, and he stunk, so I don't think he's going to get the job. That would be Jose Berrios. So we'll have to see. You know, and the White Sox are kind of in that same boat, Dan. I mean, who else would they go to besides Quintana? Good Lord, do you want to see James Shields making the opening day start? He's another guy who would give up double digits.
Well, I mean, he did it for 3 years in Tampa.
Yeah, but he was a better pitcher then. So, remember, he used to win games. I don't know what happened. You know, he signed that big money deal with San Diego, and that was the end of James Shields. So hopefully the White Sox can get him back into form and maybe get him out the door before he has a relapse. Other than that, I mean, I know they signed Derek Holland. You know, that's not really an option. You know, it appears they're keeping all their rookies in the minors. So, you know, we're not going to see Lucas Giolito or Michael, Kopacek or Kochek. So,
yeah.
You know, there really aren't a ton of other options at all for the White Sox. You know, Carlos Rodon isn't in that position. So, yeah, it's Quintana or bust. If they're to deal him between opening day, you know, before opening day, they might as well draw a name out of a hat of starters. You know, here, guys, we're putting all your name in the hat. Let's go. It'd probably be David Robertson or something like that, but that's okay. So,
well, sadly, I don't think Giolito proved himself last year, so I think he needs a year down there to just kind of keep going.
If Giolito could go to AAA and pitch really well, I think it would be a huge confidence builder.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, like you said, Cooper is supposed to be great with pitchers, and if they are able to kind of bring James Shields back up to, you know, somewhat of his former self, I think the biggest issue is going to have that run support, like, Chris Sale had.
Yeah. If Shields pitches anywhere close to his old self, they need to sell him right away. So to the first team that calls, you need to move him as quickly as you can. You know, get the deal, ship to Major League Baseball. So
the next category is pretty small, but it does raise a lot of questions.
Yeah, I saw that. I was a little confused. Why don't you knock out the top two? Because again, they're in between pictures, and we'll, especially since they're in the same division, we'll go with these two first.
Oh yeah, because we could spend a whole day on this. But the Cardinals,
yeah,
I'm going with Carlos Martinez, and the Cubs with John Lester.
Now, you know, let's start with the Cardinals, because this is a little more interesting one to me. I don't really see this as a big decision for the Cubs. So, you know, I don't know how much you've been watching lately, but, you know, more and more, you know, it's that time of year. I've been looking at baseball stuff, watching baseball stuff. Unless they're talking about sabermetrics, then I immediately turn it off. You know, reading baseball stuff, it's just that time. And I have heard multiple people really say that this is Carlos Martinez's year. And by, you know, by the time it comes around, he's going to be a contender for NL Cy Young. So, you know, obviously the other name they mentioned here in the rotation is Adam Wainwright, who, you know, has been the guy, what is it, four times in a row now and then five total. You know, he's the veteran guy, and I kind of have a feeling he's going to get the nod. You know, I think Martinez will probably – yeah, you know, I think Martinez will probably do the right thing, as they would say, and go to the manager and say, hey, you know, this is our guy. He, you know, he's the man here. Let him have the start. You know, really, in reality, it's only one start. You know, it's opening day to day two. It's not a huge deal, you know, for guys making all this money now. So I believe in the end it'll be Wainwright. But I don't know. Are you buying the Carlos Martinez hype? Has he done enough for you to – to be on that bandwagon?
Not yet. I think if he did, I think the Cardinals kind of would have been in a little bit of a better position than last season. And I mean, with the way Wainwright's season, you know, his time with the Cardinals is gone. And I know it doesn't, you know, in reality, it doesn't mean a whole lot between the rivalry between the Cubs and the Cardinals. But I think when you open the season, Sunday Night Baseball, at Busch Stadium, Cubs, Cardinals, I think you go with Wainwright and kind of let him redeem himself against the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, and then a stage like that, you know, we mentioned Strasburg a little bit. You know, Martinez is one of those guys, he can get a little too hyped up and take himself out of games. You know, on a stage like that, man, he literally could go out there and just implode. And you don't want to start your year off like that for anybody. You know, those can be confidence killers where, you know, Wainwright's a veteran. He's been around a long time. You know, he can handle the situation. So I'll be a little shocked here if Martinez is the opening day starter for the Cardinals. So,
yeah,
but all right, we'll slide down here. Yeah. Wait, what was your prediction?
Definitely.
You broke up a little.
We'll definitely be Wainwright versus Lester at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this, and this guy put this in split decisions, and I don't understand how or why this is even a split decision. I mean, isn't John Lester the easy choice for the Cubs?
Oh, yeah, hands down.
You know, I mean, he was the best pitcher last year. You know, Arrieta had his issues. Like I said, Kyle Hendricks was fantastic ERA-wise. But, you know, again, Lester's the veteran guy. The only way Lester doesn't make the start is if they want to split up lefties, because my guess is Mike Montgomery's going to be number five, which would put him and Lester pitching back-to-back.
Yeah, but you can always adjust. So, yeah, all right, I see what you're saying.
So,
I mean,
there are a few.
I don't know if they would have gone as far as they did if Lester didn't pitch the way he did last year. Moving on.
Right. I mean, he was. Yeah, no, you know, I mean, and I'll say it again. He should have won the Cy Young. And Dan is the Cub fan. I'm not the Cub fan, so you can't call me a homer or any of that other garbage. Lester should have won the Cy Young. There was no doubt about that. These other ones here, at least two out of these last three, Dan, are really interesting. For split decisions, they have the Rangers going with Cole Hamels, the Red Sox going with Rick Porcello, and then the Royals going with Danny Duffy. The Royals one, you know, I you know, you're going to have to pull up somebody because I believe the choice was going to be Yordano Ventura, you know, and tragically that's not going to happen for them. You know, Duffy had a pretty good year last year. You know, he wasn't a starter the whole year. But, you know, he's looking like the best guy in that rotation. So it wouldn't surprise me if he goes to the mound. I know, you know, the article mentions Ian Kennedy, but they did bring in Jason Hamill. you know, who has a lot of veteran experience. So, you know, they have some choices, and they don't really have a dominant guy. So I think Duffy's a good a choice as any there, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then since I'm working my way up here, Dan, I know Porcello was the Cy Young Award winner, but I have really real fears that last season is going to be kind of an anomaly for him. And you're looking at a staff where right behind him, you got guys named David Price and Chris Sale. Is he really the best choice?
I mean, for me, you brought in Bailey, might as well go with him, but you also have Price. So I'd be looking at those two guys. But, you know, like you said, the award kind of might motivate the Farrell to go that way.
Yeah, you know, I definitely, you know, being with the way the rotation is going to set up, I would easily go with Sale or Price. And then put Porcello in the middle of them, so you got lefty-righty-lefty just to start your year. And I, again, Porcello won, I think it was 22 games. I don't expect him to do that again, do you?
No.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, I really think Sale is the man there. I mean, you know, Price occasionally has problems with the big stage. Normally it's in the playoffs, though. You know, Sale doesn't. You know, Sale could be that guy who goes out there on opening day and strikes out 12 guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't understand this choice at all if they went that route. I don't think it's their, you know, for what's supposed to be one of the better teams, I don't think it's their best pitcher. So, and then the last one here in split decisions, Dan, the Rangers. You got Cole Hamels over Yu Darvish?
I think so, only because did Yu even pitch the whole season last year?
No, he was hurt again. So.
Yeah. I don't really think it's that big of a split decision.
Yeah, I mean, I could see going with you because he's a longtime Ranger.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that reading here that he's never started opening day. But I this could go either way. Maybe health plays into it depending on which one of them is healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess looking at it would all depend on what you've got going on that day.
Maybe matchup comes into play. I don't know who the Rangers open against. So, you know, it just kind of, that'll be one to watch. I could definitely see the team going either way there, so that'll be a big, not so much a big decision, but just kind of a big one to watch, keep an eye on, see who they do decide to go with. Why don't you go ahead and do these other ones, Dan, because there are some really interesting ones and then some that I just don't know a ton about, so I guess that's why they're going that route, huh?
Yeah. Well, according to Andrew Simon, I think if it was Simone, it'd have an E on the end. The Blue Jays, what they have. The Brewers, Junior Guerrero. Marlins, Lady Chen. Luis Perdomo for the Padres, Anthony DeGalfani for the Reds, and John Gray for the Rockies.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them I can understand. It's kind of, well, that's the best guy. I guess the first one you mentioned is the most interesting one for me. You know, Hop did win, I believe it was 20 games on the nose, but there's a lot of good pitchers on that Blue Jay staff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, just looking at it, you know, Marcus Stroman got the start last year, but he didn't turn into the number one they thought he was going to be. You know, Aaron Sanchez ended up being probably, I think, I don't remember if he was, he may end up being the ERA leader in the American League. So, you know, Marco Estrada was really big for them in the playoffs. And then, you know, they added Francisco Liriano, who I didn't realize this, made the past three opening day starts for the Pirates.
Yep.
So they, you know, they have some options. I mean, are you pulling Hop out of that group as the 20-game winner, or did you like one of the other guys?
I mean, if he hasn't done it, maybe it's time. But at the same time, you know, Liriano, you know, done it 3 years in Pittsburgh. So I don't think I'd be, you know, have hurt feelings if it wasn't after, you know, if he went to Liriano being the new guy or even giving it back to Stroman.
Yeah, you know, I could definitely see them, you know, almost going any route here. I mean, as good as Sanchez was, I could see him being rewarded. You know, again, Estrada was their only real decent starter in the playoffs last year. So, you know, maybe that's his reward. You don't know how they're, you know, how they're going to handle it. But, yeah, this was the one, this was the, I think, the most confusing one out of any of them. You know, was just kind of like there are legitimately, I mean, you could make a case for each and every guy. So, you know, there's not a lot of teams you can do that with. You know, and then, you know, some of these other ones, like, you know, the Brewers you mentioned, I don't even know who else the Brewers would really consider, you know, unless, are they going to go to your guy, Matt Garza, as the guy?
No. I mean, didn't know if
it's out, but I'll let you go. So, yeah, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of looking at it, I think Guerrero was their best pitcher last year. So, you know, I think you got to kind of, you know, bounce back there. And then, you know, the Marlins, you know, obviously, again, it would be a situation where this would be Jose Fernandez, you know, with the exception, of course, the fact that he passed away last year. You know, I think your guy, Wei Ying Chin, is as good a pick as anybody as long as he's healthy, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who else can you go with?
Yeah, you know, like they mentioned Adam Conley in the article as well as Edison Volquez. But, you know, Conley, you know, he's you know, young, still kind of growing. I don't know if I would want to dump this on him. You know, and Volquez is just rolling in. I think Chen is a better pitcher than Volquez as long as they're both healthy.
Well, yeah, and I felt like Chen was there. I don't remember if he signed there, correct? Like a 5-year deal,
yeah.
After leaving the O's, he didn't get traded. So, I mean,
yeah.
Aside from essentially it was supposed to be, you know, Fernandez 1, Chen 2, Volquez 3. So I think it just automatically goes to Chen. Sadly, I wonder with the popularity if I'll be able to land him.
Yeah, I, you know. Well, maybe because he was hurt for a lot of last season, so a lot of guys will probably forget about him.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, then the Padres, you know, they mentioned Luis Perdomo. He was actually a Rule 5 draft pick for them last year. But, you know, you're looking at the Padres, and the other choices they listed here aren't really exciting. Julius Chacin, Clayton Richards, or Christian Friedrich. Wow, it's going to be a bad year for the Padres, Dan.
Is it? So the other four guys are all guys that came from different teams, right? Because Chacin was, I believe, with Colorado, and I think we could just go on and on.
Yeah, I believe Friedrich may have been a guy who came through the Padres system, but he, I don't know much about him, so I'm just trying to figure out why they didn't re-sign Edwin Jackson and just let him start. Because I'm, you know, San Diego, you know, if you're a Padre fan, I feel so bad for you. I don't know what this team is doing. You know, I know they signed Will Myers to keep him long-term, but man, this is bad. You know, I'll be shocked if they're not the worst team in baseball. I really will. It's just a terrible team, a terrible rotation. So,
well, you've got to wonder about the Edwin Jackson. I'd have to do my double check, but is he done with that Cubs contract finally? Or
yes, he is finally done.
And with Will Myers, you've got to wonder if the term contract was so they can have some control to move him. I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing there. Stadium.
Yeah, I guess that's about all you can say, isn't it? It's like, hey, look at the stadium. Because, there's just not much going on. I had to pull up the rest of their roster just to check. Their other pitchers listed are Jared Cozart, Trevor Cahill, Pat Clemens, and Carlos Vargas. So it doesn't get any better, guys. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's rough. I mean, just looking at here's their projected starting lineup, Dan, on MLB.com. Obviously, we know Will Myers. Ryan Shrimp at second, Luis Sardinez at short, Yervanja Solarte at third. I don't remember Dickerson's first name. It's A. Dickerson in left. I don't think it's Andy, though. Travis Jankowski in center and Hunter Renfroe in right with Austin Hedges as the catcher. Does that strike fear in you? So.
Poor Will Myers.
Yeah, it's just like, great. Will Myers is on a team that's going to win 60 games, if that. So.
Maybe
we do have a couple more here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a couple more here. The Reds have Anthony DeSclafani as their guy. Now, it helps that Dan Straley's been traded. Homer Bailey's going to be on the disabled list. And it looks like they're moving. Now, Mr. Fantasy was huge on this guy last year, if you remember, Dan. Raciel Iglesias appears to be headed to the bullpen as their closer.
Oh, wow.
So the only other real options besides the DeSclafani is Brandon Finnegan, who they got in the trade with the Royals. For actually Johnny Cueto. So not too much debate here. I mean, he's almost kind of the guy by default. So, not too much of a choice there. And then the Rockies, a little bit of the same way. They're going with John Gray. Now, Jorge De La Rosa had made two of the past three, but they didn't re-sign him. Do have Chad Bettis, who actually pitched pretty well, I believe, in Colorado.
Yeah.
Tyler Chatwood and Tyler Anderson are the other three guys who will probably go up against Gray. But, I don't know if there's if there's one case better than the other, for going, okay, well, we're going to start John Gray over these guys. So
I don't. Yeah, I don't remember know a whole lot about John Gray. Was obviously pick it up this season. Bettis and Chatwood gave innings last year, and I was able to squeeze some W's out of them. So I think I had both of them in both leagues, but I had supplemental pitchers up on the wire. When you get half, partway through the season, you need starting pitching, and those two were available.
Yeah.
So I kind of stuck with them for a while.
Yeah, I actually had De La Rosa for a little while filling in on one of the teams when I had guys hurt. So, but yeah, here they've got interestingly, Chad Bettis was 14-8. Tyler Chatwood was 12-9, and John Gray was 10-10. So, maybe in the end, Bettis gets the shot. I mean, obviously, all the ERAs are up there because it's Colorado. Tyler Chatwood was 3.87. Tyler Anderson was 5-6, but he only made 19 starts. So, I don't know if one is really you know, a huge step ahead of the other, do you?
No.
So, but yeah, that gets us through everybody. So we did make it. It's again, it's Andrew Simon. We decided to call him on MLB.com. If you want to go over and just kind of read it for yourself, or he is on Twitter at Andrew Simon MLB, Dan, if you'd like to follow him.
Yeah.
So
now here's one I think happened over the weekend. Braves second baseman Sean Rodriguez. I believe, I don't know, he got in a car accident, something with the shoulder. I believe he's going to be out the whole season. I don't know if the trade was made official. I want to kind of get your thoughts on it with bringing Brandon Phillips down to Atlanta. He refuses, like you said, to go to Washington, which they didn't win anyways, but he would accept to go down to Atlanta. I mean, is it kind of the excitement thing going on? And Sean Rodriguez, I guess coming in, you know, because they didn't have anybody, he's a starting second baseman, but I still think of the kid playing in Pittsburgh. So, whatever.
So, Mr. Fantasy and I actually kind of figured this out on Sunday. We were talking about this a little bit. It may have been a case when you look at the deal, you know, the Reds got basically two journeyman minor league relief pitchers, and they're also paying $13 million of Phillips's $14 million salary. It literally looks like they were just dumping him to open room for one of their young players, and with the injury to Rodriguez, the Braves needed a second baseman.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely interesting because, you know, when you start thinking about it, you know, he could have been in the playoffs with the Nationals last year. But he chose to turn it down. Now, I believe in January as well, he turned down a deal to go to the Braves. So I'm you got to wonder, you know, did the Reds just go to him and say, hey, look, you know, we want to move these guys in and, you know, you need to accept this? Or, you know, you wonder what was made that this time he went, yeah, okay, no problem, I'll go.
Look, we're going to try to get rid of Votto, too. There's nothing happening here in Cincy. They're canceling the opening day parade.
Yeah, and, you know, and obviously, you know, the Votto thing is much harder with that contract. They're not going to be able to pay that like they were paying, you know, Brandon Phillips. It's just 1 year. You know, it's a little bit of a different scenario. So yeah, Votto may be that guy who's just kind of stuck there while they go through the rebuild. But yeah, you know, Phillips was the last guy, you know, looking at the team with the exception of Votto, of course. You know, Phillips was the veteran guy kind of hanging around there. You know, you're just kind of wondering, wait, why are you here? You know, it's, so, yeah, it just kind of worked out. I know originally, you know, the reports were Rodriguez was going to miss 3 to 5 months. But now, you know, these last couple days, it's kind of came out, and they're saying it's season ending.
Well, I mean, the shoulder can be very tricky and, you know, very serious.
So, yeah, it's, you know, obviously a bad break for him. I mean, he was going to get a real chance to, I don't know so much about being an everyday player, but he was looking at getting a lot of time, you know, and it just, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of sadly, one of those things, you know, just an automobile accident. I believe if I read the article right, him and his family were actually hit by somebody who stole the police car.
Yes, Was that in
So
it
yeah,
or?
just kind of that I don't remember. It may have been, but definitely just kind of wrong place, wrong time type of scenario. Just happened to be on that road when that happened, and one of those situations. But hopefully he'll fully recover, and if he misses the year, he comes back next year, and hopefully things are good. But yeah, it just it you know it I think it just all kind of worked out at the right time. And again, it seems like the Reds going to Phillips going, hey, look, we can't go through this again. We've been real loyal to you. We need you to help us out. But yeah, when you go and look at the players they got, I mean, they didn't get anything that's gonna, blow you away.
No.
So, it just it really it literally just seemed like a what you just call a dump. It was like, here, please take our guy, and we'll pay him. So, and then you
Yeah.
have to remind me, and I know we're going to run out of time before we can get to this, but how I always have that one thing that just really bothers me. And today my one thing that really bothers me is the fact that all of a sudden, now that John Jay's a Cub, he's the greatest player in the world. And everybody keeps talking about how he's the center fielder. Did they forget that he's literally going to be the fourth outfielder, and Alberto Almora is going to play center, and Jay is going to get the majority of his time being the defensive replacement for Kyle Schwarber?
I mean, he was the fourth man on the Cardinals. He was, I forgot where he went, last year, but
San
I don't know.
Diego.
Everyone, yeah, still, oh, San Diego, where do you go to die? No,
Yeah,
career.
now
But
you
no,
do.
yeah, I mean, I heard that earlier. Oh, we got John Jay. Oh, but you added, and I guess that's why I brought up the Sean Rodriguez thing, because everyone made it like, oh my God, their second. It's almost the same situation. Sean Rodriguez is famous for beating up a Gatorade cooler, and which killed me because so many Cub fans were posting all their memes and all that good stuff. And I'm like, you guys not watch the Carlos Zambrano era? Because that happened every day. So, is it a local thing that we're making this guy to be this huge guy when he's really, like you said, going to be the extra guy? He doesn't
Yeah, and I
really
mean,
get on base,
I
right?
thought it was a great signing, as a fourth outfielder in case out. But if he's got to play every day, this team is in trouble. So, all right, well, maybe we can pick this up tomorrow if I'm still upset about it. But time for Dan and I to go. Now, we are back tomorrow live at 5:30, so meet us here for that. You know the deal while we're away. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the new blog. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Of course, jump on the Twitter feed and give that a follow. You know it. Come on, it's at Sports Time Radio. Hopefully, we'll get the damn picks tomorrow. But it's getting close to baseball season, and we'll get caught up and stuff. As always, thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.